This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection. What's up, everybody? Today, our guest is Supermom, owner of Omni Models, supermodel herself, entrepreneur, tastemaker, mover and shaker out here in Las Vegas. Everybody, please give it up for Urena Serna. Let's go. We're live, baby. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Cameras are rolling.
Okay.
We're good?
Yes.
All right, let's take a shot.
All right.
To get it started. Cheers. Urena. God damn it. Quarantine has turned me into an alcoholic.
Oh, me too.
Jeez.
Just a little.
An alcoholic mom?
Kind of.
I'm just kidding.
I drink a lot of wine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's mom drink 101.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to switch over soon, though, because the wine's not doing it anymore.
Switch over what?
Alcohol again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
White Claws. Just drink a pack every day. You like White Claws?
Is it beer?
It's like, what is White Claws? What is White Claws? Like sparkling wine?
Oh, no.
Maybe? Mm-mm. Something?
I don't think I'll like it.
No? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're Mexican, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that extra chromosome, so... You motherfuckers can drink.
Yeah.
What's up, Urena? How you doing?
I'm good.
How you been?
I've been good.
Man, it's been so long since I've seen you.
I know. I feel like I've been away hiding for a minute.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you just had a new baby?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sunny, right?
Yes. My little sunflower baby.
That's crazy. Two girls?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Well,
probably going to need it.
Yeah. So how's that? How's motherhood? How's this the second chapter, the second kid?
Honestly, it's a lot different because when I had my first daughter, I don't think I was like as active in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a lot of like readjusting to a new lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like I think the pandemic was kind of a blessing in disguise for me because I had her right before everything hit and I planned on being home anyways. Mm-hmm. So I've just been really enjoying my time.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be my last baby.
Really?
I don't think I want to have any more.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want to try for a boy?
No. Well, I mean, actually, I would have loved to have had a boy, but I think I'm tapped out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, two is good. I mean, I don't really know people that have big families anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not like a lot of kids. No. I mean, I think that's something of the past, you know? Uh-huh. I know, like my mom, she had six sisters and a brother, you know? But I don't know if, like, our generation is having big families anymore.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, I have some friends who have, like, four, three, you know, but... Mm-hmm. I always thought, like, I'll have two. I wanted to have two before I turned 30, and I did it. So now I'm like, okay, I think the universe gave me what I wanted.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Ooh, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Man, you've managed to balance motherhood and having your own modeling agency and managing artists.
Yeah.
So you're like super mom over here. With the earrings in.
Yeah, like my earrings.
With the big hoops in.
Yeah.
So how do you do all that? Like what's your secret? What are you putting in your water or what?
Like I say, it's not perfection, it's just balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like I bring my youngest, actually I brought both of them with me to shoots with Omni.
Yeah.
My last shoot yesterday I brought Sunny with me.
Oh, so you're still working right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Still being I mean, a little bit here and there. Like, I'm not trying to be crazy and, like, being around a lot of people and stuff, but I am doing, like, more shoots again.
Are you modeling or are you, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So this time I'm doing it myself, but I'm also still trying to push Omni. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing some shoots with the girls. Like,
Are they like, hitting you up, looking for work?
Yeah, a lot of them are. At first, everyone was, like, pretty scared to, like, go out and do anything, so it was hard the first few months, so we pretty much just took a break.
Yeah, people don't really seem like they stop caring.
Yeah.
Like, I got friends going to Wet n Wild tonight, And yeah. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize I was open.
Yeah, Wet n Wild, Cowabunga Bay.
Oh, man.
That stuff's all open. But I think it's just because it's lasted so long. Like, people just are, like, getting kind of tired of, like, being cooped up. And
yeah.
I feel like it's kind of making people go a little crazy.
Go a little crazy? Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So what are you telling your models? Like, are you finding them work? Is there work available? Or?
Not really. Mostly with Omni, we do fashion shows, conventions and trade shows, like promo work with dispensaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But because of this, we haven't done any of that. Mm-hmm. So mostly we're doing photo shoots, just like online promo stuff.
Yeah.
So
you don't book them for like music videos and stuff?
Yeah, we did one in March with Dubshot Brothers.
Okay.
And then I had one of my girls in Zelly's new video that's coming out soon too. We just filmed that the other day.
Artists don't be trying to pay these girls though. Huh.
No.
Talk about that struggle.
You know what? Honestly, some don't.
Yeah.
But to be honest, like the artists that I do know, they do at least try to offer something.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's money or it's like
a little bag of weed.
Yeah, like something. But when they don't know me, I had someone hit me up from Cali and they were trying to pay. They just wanted me to like send them girls.
What the hell this look like?
That's not the point of being an agent. Yeah, like the agent is supposed to get you paid, not
what are you, some kind of pimp? Like, come on, man.
In a form.
Oh man. That's funny. You consider
I said that once.
That's
before,
so funny.
And my brother got so mad at me.
Yeah, you
like,
probably
shouldn't say that. I was like, well, I mean, it kind of is in a way.
Yeah, it is in a way. It just sounds bad when you say
not
it.
Not in the same light, you know?
Yeah, no. It's like the good kind of pimp. Oh, that's funny. That's what me and D-Mod were talking about, too.
Yeah.
Was like prostitution and stuff like that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, we were talking about like legalizing it, you know? Oh. And, like, getting rid of the, like, you know, kind of cutting the pimps out in a sense. I think pimps will always be around if you legalize it or not, but.
Well, isn't that kind of, like, what an escort is?
I'm not really sure the definition of the of the difference, but, like, you know how you have brothels, you know, like, in Pahrump it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
You have brothels or, you know, the independent contractors, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't go to jail for having sex for money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
As a woman, what do you feel about that?
About escorts and prostitution?
About the legalization of prostitution, yeah.
I mean, I feel like technically it's already being done. It's just called something special. And
what?
They have little loopholes, like escorts or...
Right.
I think mostly escorting. Like, they tell you it's just dates and things like that, but...
But they're undercover prostitutes.
Yeah, but like when you get there, it's still up to you whether or not you want to do anything with them or you want to take the extra money to do something with them.
Yeah, but that's technically, if you do take that extra money, that's illegal. Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. So, well, in Clark County, like if you pay for sex, it's illegal, right?
Or you directly. Can just say, what did they say? I think they say it's for your time.
Yeah.
So you could say, he didn't pay me for sex, he paid me for my time.
Yeah, I mean, those are code words, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right.
Like, there's loopholes, and I'm sure if you're in the industry, you know how to, like, word things so you don't get yourself in trouble.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You think they should legalize it, though, and make it, like, open?
Honestly,
open?
I don't see why not. I mean...
Boom, good job. Good job.
Just because, like I said, I feel like it's already there.
Yeah.
People are going to do it anyways. And,
exactly. It's like weed. It's like you legalize it, you tax it, and you know, people, you draw, you take it from away from the black market, and crime goes down, you know, and girls are protected. You can provide them testing, and you know,
yeah,
there won't be like little hoe babies running around, you know. I probably shouldn't
awful.
Say that. I know that sounds so bad. I apologize.
Any little hobie.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Like a prostitute getting pregnant from one of her, you know, tricks, and she doesn't know who it is. You know, those things happen.
Yeah, I'm sure that.
You know,
happen.
The
like
world would be a better place if that didn't happen.
Sounds like a movie.
Yeah, that's real life. That's real life. So, what else you been up to? It's been. I don't know when's the last time I seen you. Probably like, I don't know. I was out of the way for a while. I was MIA. Off the scene. I think I ran into you like last year at CMXX for a fashion show or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Fashion week.
Yeah. So what else you been up to? You still managing Zelly?
Technically, no. I mean, really? I don't have like a...
You guys are BFFs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
We've always been friends and partners, and I still help her with whatever I can. And, you know, I review contracts for her still, help her find models for videos or whatever it is that she needs. But we don't necessarily have like a title on it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with just... Now that we've worked together so much, I feel like she has a really good hand on what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's even, you know, taken her own time to learn more about the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that is what her career really needed.
Yeah.
Was her to be real hands-on with it.
Yeah.
And
she does a great job promoting herself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, the least that I could do is just, like, kind of go over contracts or, like, things that she doesn't... I'm really good with contracts. So anything she doesn't understand, I'm like, okay, so basically it's saying, you know, this or that.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever gotten lawyers involved?
No.
Yeah.
Not, like, with us.
Okay.
I feel like we have a pretty good, open friendship and business relationships. Mm-hmm. We're good with, like, keeping that balance.
Mm-hmm. That's tough. It can ruin relationships quick.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we never, ever wanted. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm still there for her, and I still do what I can.
She's still doing her thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's still be helping me, too. She, like, promotes Ami. Any girl she sees, she refers them my way.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I work on Ami, and I'm still going to school.
Mm. You just got your degree, I thought. I thought you were done.
I know. I went back.
Oh, dope. For your bachelor's?
No. This time I'm going for... It's like a certificate program,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Tourism, Convention, and Event Planning, something like that.
Cool.
It's like
at CSM?
Three different things, yeah.
Oh, cool.
But just because I felt like it goes hand in hand with what I'm already doing, like the travel, we were booking conventions, event planning kind of goes with like the fashion shows and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I will graduate from that in December. I got one more class.
Damn.
Yes, I'm pretty excited.
And you're a mom.
Yes.
Damn.
2 years,
yo.
Two certificates, two kids.
That's crazy. Uh-huh. Yo. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't imagine. My nephew's out there with his friend and just them taking them to the pool is like too much for me.
It's all routine, you know?
Yeah.
And my kids, like, Jasmine is 10, mm-hmm. Or actually she just turned 11.
Yeah, so she's pretty self-sufficient now.
Yeah, she
for the most part.
Pretty much takes care of herself
in a
way, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just balance. Like, I do, when I was actually going on campus, it was a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started doing the online classes, mm-hmm. and I actually really like it.
Nice.
Like, made it a lot easier.
Nice.
After this, I still plan on going again, but I just don't know what else I want to learn yet.
Yeah.
For me, it's just kind of just being able to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still get your certificates or, you know, your credit for it.
Yeah. That type of school or that, like, approach to school is so much more useful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how long did it take you? 2 years to get your music business degree?
I think I did it in like a year.
Exactly. It's just like, it's more specific learning. It's not like, oh, you go to college, your first 2 years are general ed, and then another 2 years, you know, you have to pick a major, something you might not even want to do. You know, it's, I think the certificate, the vocational kind of route is better.
I love it. I hate doing like English, math, and science.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great to know. I mean, you have to know your basics, obviously, but it's really not that applicable to the world, you know?
Right. I mean, the stuff we learned in middle school, high school, we don't use that math.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to teach us math, teach us how to do our taxes.
Yeah.
Or teach us how to, like, you know, figure out how much we need on a down payment on a house. But we don't get taught none of that bullshit.
No, you got to learn that on your own.
Or not. That's not bullshit, but none of the good shit. We get taught all the bullshit. Like Christopher Columbus was a hero, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
Stupid.
They want you to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you having a 10-year-old, like, With the world and everything going on, the pandemic, the you know, all the racism stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
How do you, especially being a woman of color, mm-hmm. and how do you, what are the conversations like with your daughter? Does she ask questions or?
That was really hard. First the pandemic, she doesn't really understand. She still wants to go places and do things, and
mm-hmm.
she doesn't really care. You know, like mm-hmm. she cares, but she just feels like, I want to go and do things, so
mm-hmm.
why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, you know, the the protesting and the things that she sees on social media and like the news and stuff,
mm-hmm.
it actually kind of hit her pretty hard. She told me one night like she was scared,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that kind of like messed me up because I was like feeling bad that she was feeling that way. Mm-hmm. So I had to talk to her, and just, you know, was just letting her know that like what's going on is for our benefit in the future. It's gonna mm-hmm. benefit her, and if nothing changes, hopefully things do get better. But if it doesn't, you know, there's gonna be a time where she's gonna have to be in the position of these other people too, where she might want to go out and actually protest and you know, or organize one herself or whatever. But Kume, D-Mob's daughter,
had we talked about that,
racism, kids mm-hmm. against racism rally.
Yeah.
And that was really awesome because it just gave her own voice to mm-hmm. be able to, like, you know, stand out there with her own homemade sign.
Yeah.
And, like, shout and scream as much as she wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
Exposing kids to that early is so important.
Yeah. Well,
so they can learn the right way, like how to do it and, you know, what it's about, you know.
Constructive. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, like, racism is taught, but they don't talk about, like, teaching kids not how to be racist.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think that was such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Have you experienced racism?
Myself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. I have.
It's like the subtle racism, huh?
Yeah. Well, but it's also in a different way because I'm Spanish and Native American, but mm-hmm. I don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
So sometimes, you know, people of my culture look down on me because I'm so brown, but I don't speak Spanish, you know? So they feel like I'm not, I guess, like I'm whitewashed is
the word.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then.
Does that fuck with you?
Sometimes I find it annoying because.
But I would think it would offend you, you know.
Well, I think
it's
like,
not your fault you don't know that language.
You kind of get used to it, you know. But I just tell them, you know, it's just it's not my fault, like you said.
Yeah.
But like, there's not anything that I can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could try to learn Spanish at this age. Mm. But I mean, other than like Zelly and her family, I don't even know anyone else who speaks Spanish.
Yo, it fucked me up when I found out Zelly spoke Spanish.
Really?
It fucked me up. Yeah, I'll never forget that. Because when she first started coming on the scene and I started hearing her name and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I think it was the Heavy Submarine.
Yeah, yeah.
That was her. That song is like, that's her bread and butter right there.
Yeah.
You know, that whole vibe right there. But when I saw that song and then I kind of, you know, you just have your impression of people, you know, whatever you see on the internet kind of deal before you actually meet them,
mm-hmm.
and then she is straight, like, she's hella Mexican. That shit fucked me up. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, Spanish is her first language.
Yeah, she said, I remember here, I don't know if she told me or I heard it somewhere that she was, what do they call that? Or she just sang in Spanish prior to this, or prior to her, like, hip-hop career.
Yeah, yeah. She used to sing in all Spanish. She was on, like, a show, like, contest, like, singing in Spanish and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. She just put out a Spanish song, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Yes.
I listened
to
it.
So happy that she's finally doing, like, a little bit of both.
Oh, she should.
Yeah.
The Spanish market is probably bigger than the English. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think she can definitely find success. You know, they're kind of blending together a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so managing her, like, what kind of lessons did you learn in that process, you know?
I think first you learn it's a long journey. It's a long-ass journey. And
you're not going to get popping overnight.
Yeah, it's not, so, like, not even, like, in a year. You know what I mean? It's a lot of work. I learned that, you know, a lot of women in the industry are not respected, That was, like, our first lesson.
In the music industry?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in any industry, but specifically in music, I feel like it's prominently men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they see girls or let alone, like, cute girls,
mm-hmm.
it's just automatically, like, you're not 100% taken serious.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, like, just the amount of work it really takes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when we booked the tour last summer, we almost didn't make it through the whole tour. Like, we literally drove in my car, we slept in my car,
mm-hmm.
We did like the last two nights like that, like just
the grind,
like pushing. Yeah,
those are the best times though.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't take it back for nothing.
Yeah,
I've had so much fun.
Yeah.
It's been more fun, but also because she's my best friend, so
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really feel like work. It just feels like we're having like fun doing what we're doing, you know?
Right
yeah.
Where'd you guys go on tour?
Mostly around Cali. Okay. So we were like San Bernardino, I don't even remember. It was just like Oxnard, just all in like the California area, LA.
So what what was the process of you booking a tour like for, because I know the struggle, you know, working with my guys before. Mm-hmm. You basically, like, in that situation, I was basically a nobody hitting up a promoter or a venue, mm-hmm. sending them an email, trying to sound all professional. And then you're kind of, like, booking show by show, and you're trying to line it up.
Yeah.
So how was that, like, you know, did you know people out there, or were you doing everything independently?
It was a little bit of both. So since we work with Jeffy from the Gutted Scar, he has a lot of connections in like the California San Bernardino area. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to him, let him know what we were trying to do and the dates.
Yeah.
And then they happened to have a show around that time frame, so we booked with them. Mm-hmm. And then so that locked down one city, and then he's like, hey, you know, I know someone here. So mm-hmm. I reached out to them. And then
that's how it happens. Yeah.
Just kind of looking up venues. There was one show, I can't remember the gallery's name. It was like an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
But I paid for her to actually perform there.
Got to pay to play sometimes. There's no shame in that.
Yeah, and you know, I know if you ask other people, they're like, oh, like, why would you pay to perform? But it was our first time doing it. I wanted to try it. So I told her I'll pay for it. We mm-hmm. did it. And it actually was one of the better shows. Like, they had a great crowd, a great setup. Like,
because
very professional.
Artists have to realize, like, and I realized this, that a lot of artists have a false sense of entitlement,
mm-hmm.
and they think they're popping, they think their music's the best and this and that, and they think like, oh, I should get paid for me performing.
Yeah.
But when you're on the flip side, when you're on the flip side of the promoter and you're the one throwing the show,
mm-hmm.
you're thinking like, if I'm a promoter, I'm thinking like, why should I pay you? How many tickets are you selling?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you're not able, if you're not bringing in a crowd, mm-hmm. if you're bringing in your 5, 10, 15, 20 homies,
mm-hmm.
that'll do nothing for my bar. That doesn't do nothing for my venue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not paying you for that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a supply and demand kind of deal.
Exactly.
So when you're on the rise and you're upcoming, the up and coming, there's, you know, you have to swallow your pride sometimes, and mm-hmm. you know, you want to get on that stage, get that experience. But the main goal is to get your music heard by other people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so you have to remember that.
It's just a part of building. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, the same thing with like models. You know, you can't get paid to do professional photo shoots if you've never even done a professional shoot before.
Right.
They don't know what you are gonna look like on camera.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you have to get you have to find a way to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
But that reminds me, it's like, well, like, it's like when jobs ask you, like, what am I trying to say? When jobs ask you for like 8 years experience or some shit like that and a full degree.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, what? Like, how am I gonna get experience if you don't give me experience, you know?
Yeah.
So it can be, I can understand, like, it's frustrating for artists, and especially artists, you know, like, All artists are probably very sensitive and insecure about their stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them are, but which is natural. It's not a bad thing, but it's definitely just like a pride thing, you know. And then I think a lot of artists shoot themselves in their foot. They miss opportunities because they're like, you know, I'm not going to pay you. I'm not going to pay you $100.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's like, I mean, obviously don't let yourself get fucked financially, but, you know.
You got to be a little humble and I think like open-minded to the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I would say try it. And then, but also don't just try and pay with like anybody. You got to at least make sure you're doing your homework and make sure it's worth it.
Right.
You know, they have good shows or whatever it is.
Right.
Otherwise, I mean, you're going to get screwed because you didn't even take the time to learn anything about who you're paying.
Yeah.
So,
what's been the most frustrating part about managing music or managing Zelly?
I guess, like I was saying, just like not being taken seriously when mm-hmm. we first came into this. You know, there were times where, like, whether it was a producer or just another artist would invite us to the studio for her to come and record or something. And, like, we show up and dudes are, like, doing drugs and trying to get us drunk and,
sleazeball shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just, like, a mix of different things. And then it turns into, like, not a recording session at all. It's, like, some party in the studio.
They're just trying to get some cute girls in the studio.
Yeah. And honestly, we were just not those females.
yeah, you guys are there for business. You've always been about your business, though.
Yeah.
You know, and Zelly takes her artist or her music career very seriously.
Oh, yeah, you definitely know? So that had to be, like, the most annoying thing. But
out here, you got that a lot?
Yeah, in the beginning. Like I said, yeah. But I think as soon as, like, we just kept pushing, kept doing things, and or we would leave those sessions or mm-hmm. whatever it is, I think people started to take it more serious. You can see, like, you know, we're not here for that.
You know, no little hoochie mamas out here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I got you.
So, yeah, eventually it did start to become easier in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, I don't think we really had too many issues, but I think also that just comes with, like, trying to be more business savvy, you know,
yeah.
like looking into things, contracts, like her performance contract. I typed it up myself. It's like 3 pages. Mm-hmm. And it just covers everything that I could
think of. You typing up contracts?
Yeah.
How'd you learn how to do that?
I'm good with them. I started creating my own when I was modeling myself mm-hmm. because I started learning that, you know, you're taking all these pictures for people and they can sell these photos
yeah.
to whoever they please if you sign a release agreement.
Yeah, you might see that photo up on a billboard and you're not getting nothing for it.
Exactly. Or on some nasty-ass website that you don't want to be a part of.
Oh, true.
And so, so with that, I just started to make my own contracts with my photographers too, or, you know, any contracts that I would sign, I have pictures of them or I have copies of them.
You're smart. So, good job. I wasn't that smart. I wasn't that smart.
You got to protect yourself.
No, 100%. It's different, like, in that because it's your likeness mm-hmm. being represented, and yeah. you have to be careful about that.
And in those contracts, they say, like, a lot of them say they can edit them and do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So it could be like your face on someone else's body or someone else's. Like, you never know what's gonna happen here.
Oh no, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's something that actually came across my mind once because I was at a shoot with this guy and we were doing like a cosplay shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And he
that's the cartoon or cartoon stuff.
Yeah, you know, like.
Okay. Keep talking. I'm gonna pour you another glass. You want another glass?
Yeah, I don't. I don't know, like. Yeah, like cartoon stuff, I guess. And he starts telling me about this website that he has where, you know, he posts these up and guys pay to, like, see these pictures. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. What are we doing? Like, you're going to put my pictures on this website? He's like, oh, no, not your pictures. I'm like, okay, because I'm not signing your contract either.
Oh, damn. Try to finesse you?
Yeah, like, no.
Okay, I want to make it clear that I'm not one of those sleazeballs trying to get you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, buddy. That burns. Uh-oh.
That one did burn.
Take some water down. Take it down. You all right?
Yeah.
I was at the pool all day.
I could actually hear you drink that water.
Isn't it crazy? Mm-hmm. This is so much better. Like, if you take the earphone or the headphones off
mm-hmm.
and you try to listen to me talk, it's such a different experience. Don't do it.
Okay.
Because it'll ruin it. It's such a worse experience. But so you're doing the shows out in California. What was different about those crowds compared to Vegas?
I mean, some of it's the same. I think it really depends on, like, where you're at and what city, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in L.A., I feel like some of the crowds are a little bit more bougie. Like, sometimes they don't, like, dance or they don't want to, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but anything that we've ever done with, like, the Gutted Cigar, San Bernardino, Oxnard, mm-hmm. it's all love.
Yeah.
One thing that is really cool is that they have, like, private events and private parties, too. So, like, there's people and they'll just be, it's, like, outside in, like, a big-ass, like, lot, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're, like, smoking. They're, like, selling trees for, like, hella cheap.
Yeah.
I've been to one of those. Like,
I've been to one of those.
Really?
It was in the Valley.
Really?
Yeah. It was because I used to live in Van Nuys.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was over in Topanga.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, this lot. It might have been the same shit, but it was, like, this lot on the, it was, like, two, it was maybe on Victory and something, but it was, like, a two-story building. And outside is just people taking dabs and people, like, just doing a whole bunch of shit, like you said, vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went upstairs, and I'm talking about these dudes. Like, one dude would have this large of a table
mm-hmm.
with turkey bags just filled up with weed, just like pounds. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
And the police are there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're monitoring what's going on.
Yeah, there was police at the door.
My mind was blown. Yeah. I'm like, yo, so I can come in here and buy a 10-pack right now and just walk out. Like, what? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Is this a trap? You know, like.
I think it's just, like, a little more relaxed. I feel like out here, you need to have, like, a lot more licensing and
so relaxed out there.
There's just, like, more that comes with it, you know?
Yeah.
Than out there.
Yeah.
Licenses.
So what do you think about the shows out here though? So because like a lot of people they haven't experienced like underground shows in other places, in other markets. So what do you think about the shows out here? To like, in what areas do you think Vegas can grow? In the underground scene, move the mic a little bit closer to you.
I think that Vegas still has a lot of growing to do in general.
Mm-hmm.
With like Tennis, The Waterhole, CMXX, mm-hmm. I think that built like a huge foundation for everybody. And I think it also made a lot more artists a lot more supportive of each other,
mm-hmm.
because they wanted to have the support. So they started showing love to other artists at these shows too.
Yeah.
But
it's like a little game that people play, huh? That you gotta play, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like becoming a part of this like Vegas scene. It's like a little family, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes people can be pretty mean about that. Like, you know, they don't want you a part of it, or they might try to X you out or whatever. But I think that with like I said, with those venues and the things that Tennis has done, he's brought like a lot of people together in general.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people say, oh, I met you at The Waterhole. I met you at CMXX. I met
100%.
You at... And it's one of those shows, you know, before we even came across him, I don't think I've really seen anything else that was like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I can't say enough about Tennis.
With local
talent in general. I can't say enough about Tennis in The Waterhole,
because
they gave me my start too.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's like that for a lot of people. And it's so great that we have him, but it's also so sad that he's the only person, you know, with their shit together out here, you know? So
I think other people have tried, you know, like there's, I don't want to say he's tried, but he's doing it. There's like Truth Spot.
Rel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Rel.
But
that's a little bit different.
It's like
you
more
know?
Poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
poetry slams and stuff.
Like rap battles or something.
Really?
I think so.
Well, I know there has been a lot of rap battles out here. What is that, Ahab TV? I don't know. You didn't grow up here, huh?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So you weren't hip to it, but there was Ahab TV. And it would have, like, Interstate Fats, you know, when he was younger coming up, and D-Cross, and a whole Artisan, and a whole bunch of other people, like, when they were younger coming up. So we've had a little battle scene for a little bit, but, you know, that's not, like, the battle scene is, like, you can just, you know, pick a random location and outside and have a battle, you know. So.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get surprised to even know that there is a scene in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But I think that just comes with being kind of overshadowed by the Strip and everything that they bring in. I mean,
well, that's what our city's built on.
Yeah.
Know?
Like even still to this day, like there's people from my hometown that think I live on
in
the
casino.
Strip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember growing up, like, I'm born and raised here. So when I grew up and I would go somewhere, I was like 9 or 10, like people really thought like I lived in a hotel.
That is so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. But I mean, that's what Vegas is though. Vegas is gambling and the Strip and the allure of you can come out here and do whatever the fuck you want, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I say legalize prostitution.
You want this?
No, I'm just saying for our economy, it'll boost our economy 100%. Because people aren't coming to the clubs and spending money like they used to. Mm-hmm. They're not gambling like they used to. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked in the industry for a while. And did my phone just ring? God damn it, I'm so unprofessional. But the... I've worked in the industry for a while, and I know, and I can see that how the money's declined and how people are spending money, and it's the money's just not coming in how it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's because Vegas is losing its allure, its selling point of, like, it's Vegas. Come out here. It's the adult playground. Come out here. Do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, though, that's why they try to change, like, the shows and the name of, like, the venue and all that kind of thing. Where they try to, like, just make it more intriguing. Like, mm-hmm. did you see there's like a, some, I don't even know where it's at, but I think it's like on a rooftop and they have like a big, huge.
Oh, downtown. Screen. Yeah, I seen it. Yep. Yeah, yep. That like, new, it's called Circa. It's called Circa.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And so I think they just try to make things that are just gonna, like, just make people wanna come and see.
Yeah, I was pretty salty about that.
Why?
Cause it was, cause like, yeah, I'm a native, so I want to preserve downtown. Mm-hmm. Downtown is special, such a special sacred place.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to see them, like glitzing up, throwing glitter down there. You know, I don't want to see them like throwing like I don't want to see downtown become the Strip.
Yeah. Cause
the Strip is very corny in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, downtown is raw. Downtown more.
Downtown, yeah, downtown is raw. It's all those casinos have been there for years and years. They're original. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm cool with, like, the venues changing out, you know, over there. Like, but as far as, like, you knocking down a whole casino, I don't know what casino they knocked down to build that Circa, but.
Oh, wow. It's like, yeah, I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, they knocked down a whole. Oh, I'm pretty sure they did.
I haven't been.
You know what? I don't know if they knocked down something, but.
I think, like, last year. Really? Like in December. Yeah,
out of the loop, girl. Out there. You get down there. You know, Red AR dropped a bomb on me. You know, the venue Red?
Uh-huh.
So it's called Disco Pussy now.
Shut up. Why would they name it that?
What's it called? The people over at, not McFadden's, what the fuck am I talking about? What's that place on the corner? I'm terrible. The corner on, right across from Backstage Bar and Billiards. The two-story place. The rooftop place.
Like the neon thing?
No, where Cricket has her, Cricket's Playhouse.
Oh, Commonwealth.
Commonwealth. I don't know why I couldn't think of that, but
yeah.
Commonwealth, I guess, took it over and they made it into some new cool shit, I guess. It's supposed to be pretty cool. It's supposed to be open already.
And they call it Disco Pussy.
That's so great. I love it. I love it. So,
but I think I could just tell people I was going there. Like, hey, I'm going to Disco Pussy tonight.
Yeah, they'd be like, what type of freaky shit you into?
Exactly.
How'd you land here in Vegas?
How'd I come here?
Yeah, and where are you from?
I was born in Colorado, but I was raised New Mexico.
That's right.
I lived in a little tiny bitty town called Alamogordo.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved here like right before I turned 21. So I've been here almost like.
You grew up in New Mexico and you don't know Spanish?
Yeah.
Damn. How'd that happen?
Well, my mom doesn't speak Spanish, but my dad did, and I didn't grow up with my dad, so I didn't learn it.
Okay.
And then, you know, growing up in school, you know how you talk about, like, how you're asking about, like, if I've experienced racism? Mm-hmm. I guess in that sense I kind of did, because when I was growing up in school, I didn't hang out with all of the Mexican kids. I hung out with all the black kids.
Mm-hmm.
And where I grew up, it was always, like, black kids and Mexican kids were always fighting with each other and had, like, these, like, rumbles and shit.
So you were a traitor.
Exactly.
In their eyes.
Yeah, I was like trying to be black or something. But
yeah.
I mean, I wasn't. I just liked to hang out with those
people. Those are just your friends, yeah.
Yeah, so I just didn't really grow up, I guess, being accepted by even like my own culture, you know.
So then how'd you make your way out here, out west?
So my hometown is there's a little military base there,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I met my oldest daughter's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we were still, like, in school when his family got transferred out here to the base out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I graduated, I just moved out here where they were at.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been here since.
How old were you when you came here?
I was, like, 20.
Oh, you're already grown.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
I had my 21st birthday at the Palms.
Yeah. Are you hot? I'm hot. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Hey,
hot.
Hey, is there AC?
If you hadn't noticed.
Can you control it?
It's
cool.
Yeah, my 21st birthday I had at the Palms when they had like the Playboy Bunny Club and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was at.
Damn, the Playboy Bunny Club with the Palm.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to close the Palms down.
Are they?
They
Why?
They just built that big ass club, and that shit went to shit real quick.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because it's not attached to the Strip. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But when they started building it, I was like, why are you building another club? The last thing Vegas needs is another club. Like, we have so many clubs here.
Every casino wants to have a club.
But it's like, yeah, it sounds good. You're in Vegas and you have a mega club, but like we have enough clubs, you know? Like, why are you gonna, this is the worst place to try to open up a new club, you know? If you think about it,
it's like
trying to open up a bar out here too. It's like, yo, there's so many bars and, mm-hmm. you know, alcohol flowing around everywhere out here.
Yeah.
That's the last industry I would want to try to start out here.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they had a good little run, you know, with some of the stuff that they did. They had when the Playboy Club was a thing, they had like 3 stories, so you could like go on between each.
Yeah.
But like when I turned 21, I didn't like that because I was so drunk, I didn't even want to be in the elevator. Like going from one to the other, it was.
You don't
like,
drink.
Really
you're not drink. You don't drink. You don't get drunk. Are you drunk right now?
No.
Okay. Cool. Cool. Hey, I feel better. You feel better now?
Yeah.
It's okay. Cool. Better. Yeah. So how do you like Vegas?
Honestly, I love Vegas.
You see, staying here for good?
I don't know. I'm kind of back and forth on it. Yeah. But mostly only because I'm so far away from my family, you know? Mm-hmm. My brother moved out here, so that kind of has made things, like, feel a little more like home.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want to stay out here forever. Mm. I mean, this is only like the 3rd city I've ever lived in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to be like...
Well, especially you have kids too.
Just stay, you know? Yeah.
Well, especially you have kids too, you know?
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is a good place to raise your daughter? Daughters?
I think at first, no. Because when I first moved here, I wanted to leave before she was 5. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more about... like how you raise them and the things that you teach them. Because no matter where you go,
no, 100%, 100%.
Bad shit. There's gonna be influences.
Yeah.
You never know what kind of kids you come across.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, the environment does influence that. You know,
like, yeah.
You know, I have friends that grew up here, and they say like they were in the clubs when they were younger, and they had fake IDs and things like that. But I feel like I'm not like an old mom. So, like, I've made jokes in the past of, like, my daughter showing up to, like, one of their water hole events or, like, seeing, like, sex, and I'll be like, hey, is my kid there?
Yeah.
You know? Like, 100%. So I feel like we're going to know.
Yeah, she couldn't get away with too much out here.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, we would know the people in the industry and be like,
and
hey,
that's a good thing,
there's a little girl here that looks like you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think I want to live here forever, but I do think that... you know, like when I go other places and people ask me where home is, I don't always say New Mexico, and it kind of sucks to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I've been here for so long.
Yeah.
And
your roots are here now.
I don't really want to leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a good place, but I also don't think I think you're 100% right that it comes down to how you raise your kids.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, you know, for me growing up, it's just like, damn, like, I was in garages all through high school, like hanging out in people's garages, and like we didn't go like to the lake, or we didn't go to the mountains, or there wasn't like after school activities and shit like that. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I mean, but there is now.
There is. I mean, you're right though. It's whatever you expose your kids to.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I mean, both my parents worked on the strip. So that's kind of what, you know, I've always known to be normal kind of deal, you know. So I don't know. I mean, when I think about my future kids, I don't have any right now, but I don't know, man. I think I don't know if I would want to raise them here or not, you know.
Yeah.
I just want, but it's also like my belief in Vegas and keeping Vegas, you know. Mm-hmm. Like all these people moving here. Oh, my fucking God.
That's the part I don't like.
All these houses just coming up. I'm just like houses everywhere. Houses. I'm just like, where the fuck do all these people work?
I think that we got enough houses.
We got so many. We got too many houses.
Yeah.
You know, it's like fucking insane. And this is all these people moving here is driving up our rent and our mortgages and all this. It's like, first of all, there's not enough water in this bitch. First of all, it's so small. Mm-hmm. Like, Vegas is such a small place. It's just like, I don't know who's allowing these big companies to buy land and just pack as many people into these neighborhoods as possible, you know? All these apartments popping up, you know? So I think, because that's what our economy is based on, is tourism and people coming to Las Vegas for Las Vegas. You know, Las Vegas, you come to Las Vegas because you want to be a degenerate. You know, essentially, you know, and that's our selling point. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are trying to make Vegas this this family place. It's like, no, don't do that. We're shooting ourselves in the foot, you know? Yeah. And obviously, you know, I grew up here. My family's here, you know, and I'm not saying that it's a terrible place to raise kids, you know? It's just like, I don't know, man.
But also, I think that's how you look at it. You know what I mean? Because you were raised here, you probably see it a little different. Yeah. So where I was raised, everything was a little more secluded because it is such a small town. We only had 2 middle schools and 1 high school.
Mm.
So it shows you, first off, how many people actually make it to high school. Mm-hmm. We've got like 6 elementary schools, and then there's only 2 middle schools and 1 high school.
Yeah.
And then at that, I mean, I think that right now there's only like 1 bar in the whole town.
That's cool. There's
1 Walmart and like 2 other grocery stores. It's like super small,
which
is great. But then you're also, how do I say, like kind of protected from a lot of things. So when I moved here,
you're not exposed to it. So it's.
Yeah, you don't learn a lot of those things. So when I moved here, like I learned so many things so quick.
Yeah.
Because of the environment. My first job was at a smoke shop when I moved here. I was working at Diversity.
Oh, dope.
And so I learned like a lot about a lot of drugs that I had no idea were existed, you know? And so I think sometimes exposure is worse than not being exposed. But also, like how I say, the way that you raise your kids, like you have to, you can't protect them from everything, and you can't expect that these situations or conversations or people doing these drugs are not gonna come up.
Yeah.
So you've got to just prepare them for if that happens, you know, this is what you do, or, you know, don't be influenced or tempted to do something that you're not comfortable with.
Right. 100%. It's kind of funny too, because that Vegas is right next to Henderson. I live in Henderson now.
Really?
Yeah, I grew up in Northtown, but I moved over to Henderson now, and Henderson is like one of the top 10 places to live in America.
Really?
Yeah, it's like official thing.
Do you like it over there?
I love it. It's so nice.
Right now
it's so nice.
Las Vegas. Yeah. I thought about making the jump across.
It's so nice. All the parks and just everything. It's just a different vibe, you know?
It's more family oriented.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy because it's literally one of the top 10 places in the United States to live and raise a family.
Huh.
Isn't that so crazy? Right next to Las Vegas, connected to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And that's another thing too, is that Las Vegas is the school district is a joke.
Yeah.
Fucking joke. Yeah. Pitiful.
It's all about standardized testing.
Yeah.
That's really it.
What is that? So what do you mean?
So basically, like all of your curriculum is based around your standardized testing. Those are those tests that they give you, you know, like at the end of the year, middle of the year, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And based off of the results of those tests determines how much money the state is going to give the school. And so so it's all focused on that, you know. I remember my daughter was in like 3rd grade. Mm-hmm. I asked about, like, they don't teach them cursive anymore. They don't really go over, like, spelling and definitions anymore. Mm-hmm. And the teacher told me that it was because with, like, cell phones, you have spell check.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really, like, a thing to know how to spell, I guess, as well. And she told me that everything was based around standardized testing. So whatever is going on with these tests is what they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I even went to go be, like, an observer of some sort, like for the school. And I went to like each grade, like every hour or something, and they're teaching like 1st graders how to use the computer, how to use a mouse. Mm. And that's because they do standardized testing on the computers.
Mm.
So kids need to know how to do that in order to take these tests. So
that's
it's
crazy.
Just all based off of that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can hear. Can you tell them to just go farther over there for me? That's my nephew talking about Fortnite over there. So what do you think the solution is to that?
Honestly, I don't have the answers.
Yeah.
I don't. I think.
Whoever has that job is.
Yeah.
They probably don't give a fuck anyway.
I don't have the answers to it. I think maybe, like, even now with everything changing, I think it would just take like a huge change.
Yeah.
To fix, like, every aspect of, from education to law enforcement to jobs and pay. And,
I think our generation coming up, and especially I think it's Generation Z, we're Generation X, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
have no idea.
Okay.
You know, my daughter could tell you, but I can't.
Oh, okay, okay. She's hip to all that shit.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So I think our generation is very, I guess you could say woke. I don't know if I want to use that word, but.
It's like more aware.
Yeah, more aware, and we're just kind of, what am I trying to say? We're not as racist and stupid as our elders once were, you know. We just live in a different world now. It's more progressive in a lot of ways, you know. So I think it's going to be up to, like, our generation to, and I say this all the time, like, for America to change, the old white people have to die. For real.
I think I've said that before in the past.
Yeah.
But I also think it's, like you said, our generation, but our generation has to teach the kids because I think it'll be more like my daughter's generation, like, you know, this upcoming generation who really will be able to, like, help solidify those things.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, like, our generation is more exposed. Like, there's stuff that I tell even my mom that she doesn't know, but it's because she's not exposed to a bigger city like I am, but also, like, the internet and, you know, like, just the information in general.
Yeah.
So we have so much information.
Yeah.
So many things that we can teach them. So I think as they come up,
too much information,
it'll be a little more open. Yeah.
How do you monitor or intake your information on the internet? What are your sources for what's going on in the world?
I think just about anything I can find. Like, I just kind of, sometimes I go into, like, these little holes of, like, Google searches and, you know, clicking different things or reading, like, an article and you see something and then you go looking that up and it just, like, keeps going and going and going and going. And you just got to, I think you just have to take in, I guess, more or less of, like, what sits right with you.
Yeah.
And not just believe every single thing that you read. Because there are sites that are like, I remember there was, like, some news station on, I think it's on YouTube, it's called The Onion, but it looks like real news. And they, like, play it like it's, like, real news.
Oh,
like,
those are the ones you got to be careful of.
Yeah, and I remember I saw it, and I'm like, what is this? And I sent it to someone, and they told me, like, that's a fake news thing, you know. That was, like, a long time ago.
Man,
but
it needs to be illegal to be spreading fake news, man. It needs something. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some kind of police to like, you know, control that, because there's really smart people or really very intellectual people or very well-spoken people that are giving a bad message. But they say it in a way that is so believable.
But also, there could be a downfall to that, though, because if you have everything monitored and like, filtered through, then you're not going to always get the information that you're even looking for. Or
it's like the double-edged sword, you know?
Exactly, so, yeah.
I don't know. We live in a crazy world. In a crazy world. What the next 20 years, 50 years is going to be, you know?
Just this year.
Just this year. If we can get through this motherfucker.
This year has been crazy.
God damn.
I can't believe we're already, like, halfway there.
I know.
Through the end of the year.
I know. I know.
It's been a lot.
I think they just need to... So how do you feel about how this has all been handled, you know?
Obviously, there's so many things that possibly could have been done better, you know? But...
Somebody said to me the other day, Sissy Lack, Mr. Sissy, Governor Sissy Lack is fucking everything up.
I mean, I feel like though he's, like, you know, a person of authority, they all work for somebody. You know what I mean?
He's a puppet.
Yeah. So they all got to do what they're told or follow certain guidelines, or either they lose their position or...
Well, he's controlled by whoever's giving him money for his campaign or whatever the case is. You know, a lot of the lobbyists.
Exactly. I can say, though, that I have, like, mixed feelings as far as, like, the school, like, how they're about to run the new school system and everything.
So how are they doing that?
From my understanding, they're going to run, like, the first semester through online. So it's all...
Yo, Wet n Wild is open. Like, what?
Exactly. But also, it's kind of like, okay, so to me, it's like if you're going to have, like, bars closed, for example, then you shouldn't be sending kids back to school. Because clearly it's not safe. But if you're going to reopen everything and, like, it's, like... Like, I guess not fair, but just where everybody is doing the same thing, then maybe people would feel more safe about their kids going back to school.
Well, if you're going to, so they're going to send them back for 2 days?
No. So they're going to do the first whole semester.
Oh, you said that. Okay.
Online based.
Yep.
And then they're supposed to like reevaluate and do this whole thing over and then see if they're going to send them back.
Kid, the problem is that kids aren't going to learn online. Kids aren't going to take it serious online.
Yeah.
Parents are going to take advantage of it because parents aren't going to teach their kids shit.
Well, so, I mean, there's things that we don't know, you know what I
mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But, like, I mean, the parents aren't going to, like, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of bad parents out there, you know, and they're not going to, and that's why people send their kids to school so somebody else can teach them. I'm not saying every parent should be a teacher, but, you know, a lot of parents aren't going to hold their kids accountable to their, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, I don't have internet or, you know,
but honestly, that's why I say I have mixed feelings because for me, this is my daughter's first year going to middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, really I would have loved for her to go back to school. But mm-hmm. do I want her to, like, be at school wearing a mask all day? No.
No.
Do I want her, like, getting in trouble because she takes her mask off during the day or something?
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean?
So God, that would be a nightmare trying to keep kids' masks on all day.
Imagine, like, kindergartners.
God, what a nightmare.
You know, so that's why I say it's mixed, because I don't think that there really is a right answer.
Well, it's so contradicting because, like you said, it's like all these other places are open. Like, recreational places are open.
Yeah.
So, like, why are those places open but the important places are closed? Are you going to close schools?
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sorry, you have to go through, your kid has to go through this. It's a shit show.
Yeah, you know. It'll be something she can talk about later.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, I think that's about an hour. Wanna wrap it up?
Yes.
Anything you want to shout out, you want to plug?
No, I guess, you know, just keep up with Omni, because that's what I'm building.
Omni Models.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just stay safe out there.
Zelly Vibes.
Crazy. Zelly, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Zelly, everybody. I mean, that probably knows me knows Zelly. So.
Yeah.
You know, just stay in tune, and I just think, you know, just be safe and keep pushing for whatever it is that you want to do in your life.
Hello. All right, till next time. Thanks for coming through.
Yes, no problem.
Peace.
Bye.